Well, I'm just like,
do you guys got any good break about? We need to pass any around we can.
Do you want your own?
Got my lovely assistants around here. That's
Listen here, Snow
White. Just joking. So. Yeah, so go ahead and bust out those symbols. And how do you guys do that? Bryson.
What?
I need you to be quiet, right? Thank you. So, while you guys get those out, I want somebody to raise their hand and tell me. I'm going to go, see, I do this with the Timothy kids whenever, like, I'm with them. Like, so I'm going to go Timothy kids on you guys right now. So, why do we sing? Can someone raise their hand and tell me, why do we sing? What's the point of singing hymns? Is it just because, well, you're in church, and, you know, for, I don't know, last thousand years, like, people have always done that in a church? Like, just break out the hymnal, right? Like, well, that's what we do before a message, so I guess I just want to get with the program and crack open this book. I mean, is that as deep as that goes, or does somebody have a different answer to that? Hey, Steve.
To get our hearts prepared for the lesson.
To get your heart prepared for the lesson. Why would you have to get your heart prepared? Who does that? Who sings to prepare for something? Why would we have to do that? You're right.
No, it's right. I'm trying to think.
All right.
It depends if you're praise or worshiping.
You're praise or worshiping?
Yeah, it depends on which one you're going through.
Which one you're going through. So what do you mean by if you're like praise or worshiping?
Well, praising and worship both have a different meaning. So it depends on if you're praising or if you're worshiping.
Got it.
There are different reasons why you do each one. So it would depend on the one that you're doing.
Okay. I appreciate the answer, man. So, okay, Kinsey, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah. Because whenever you sing, you're thinking more of the words. And, you know, because you have to sing it, you know, you don't just, like, read something, like, with the empty mind or whatever. You have to think about what you're saying. So whenever you're singing, you're thinking more of the words. And so through that, you know, you're getting your mind prepared for, you know, hey, I'm not distracted, you know, and you're talking about God and not, like, what are you having going through, whatever.
So
it's just getting your mind, like, mentally prepared because you're singing the words.
So you're singing words that, like, are about God, so that kind of gets your mind, like, that kind of gets your mind where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Macy?
Because, like, we've been out in, like, the world for, like, 4 days or so, and, like, so we need to get, like, our heart set back on, like, the right mindset and stuff.
Yeah. Because out there in the world, excuse me, out there in the world, I mean, do we typically hear hymns? Like, if you listen to, I don't even know, what radio stations are there nowadays? I don't even know. 93.3, is that still a radio station?
Yes.
Okay, at 93.3, are you hearing hymns? Are you hearing the old rugged cross? Are you hearing Victory in Jesus on there?
No.
No, you're not. You're probably not hearing about Jesus at all, right? Ethan, what were you going to say?
I was going to say what Macy's in.
Okay.
That we've just been in the world all weekend. You can't really, like, get anything out of the message if your heart is unclean.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. So if I'm thinking about, you know, the things of the world, say for instance, you know, maybe I've been listening to some worldly music like all throughout the week, right? Now, obviously, like I just said, the music in the world doesn't talk about Jesus, right? It doesn't talk about the Word. It doesn't talk about glorifying God, right? No, what are some common things that the worldly music is about? I don't know, drugs, crime, cars, you know, lust, things like that. So if you got all that kind of, all those kinds of thoughts swirling around in your mind for, like Macy said, for the last few days, the last thing on your mind is going to be Jesus. The last thing on your mind is going to be the Bible, right? Because that stuff does not mix. I want you guys to, we don't have to turn here, but just over there in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. So this is a verse that, or a passage you guys are probably all familiar with. I know this was covered in Discipleship 1 for those of you who have been through Discipleship 1. It says over there in Ephesians 5, 18 to 19, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, okay? So here's the thing. So out in the world, you know, and, you know, when it comes to drinking, you know, people say, well, different things. Like, well, I just drink just because I just like the taste, or it's just social to me, or something like that, right? No. When people drink, they're trying to get their minds altered. That's what that is. You want to be in a different state of mind. When people drink in the world, they're drinking because they want to suppress all the things that are bugging them, all the problems in their life, all the things that are bothering them. So that's why they get drunk. They want to be in an altered state of mind. Well, here's the thing. Christians should be in an altered state of mind when it comes to the world.
Mm-hmm.
We should put ourselves in an altered state of mind. So what does the rest of the passage say? But be filled with the Spirit, capital S, God's Spirit. speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the object that you're singing to is the Lord. Like I said, it's not drugs, it's not crime, it's not, I don't know, fast cars, not girls, it's not whatever like the world likes to sing about. The object that you're singing to is the Lord. And so, yeah, like you guys all said, that's why we sing hymns. That's why we do that, because, like I said, the world, they want to put themselves in an altered state of mind. So they listen to, you know, music that talks about things like that, or they get drunk or do whatever, these worldly things. But we're supposed to be in an altered state of mind, because we're not of this world. We're supposed to have our things set on, our minds set on the things of heaven. So that's why we sing, guys. So thanks for bearing with me with that. So everybody go ahead and stand on up. Stand on up with your hymnals. So do I have any requests to start us off? Any requests? Anybody?
496.
496? 496. Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. All right, guys. I
heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented redemption.
understand it just because, I mean, I don't know about you, but many times, like, as I'm going throughout my day, I don't know, it's probably kind of goofy, but just even, like, with little stuff, like, at work, like, if I'm given, like, some kind of new project or task that I have to do, for whatever reason, like, sometimes I'll just get kind of, like, nervous about it if it's something new I haven't done before, and I'll be like, okay, like, Lord, can you please help me do this? Like, I mean, you know, I have plenty of experience, I've done plenty of stuff at my job and things like that, I don't know why I'm nervous, but, like, maybe I'm just nervous because you want me to pray to you. Maybe I'm just nervous right now because you just want my flesh to be weak so you can be strong, you know? So many times I'll pray to him to help me through something. And that's what this hymn is talking about, leaning on the everlasting arms. What are we leaning on tonight? What are we trusting in? You know, I mean, most of us in here, at least most of us in here are saved, right? But here's the thing is, like, as Christians, God still gives you that free will. He still gives you that choice to lean on him or to not lean on him. We still have that daily choice that we have to make. Because, you know, we're not Calvinists, so we don't believe that, you know, God forced us to get saved, right? He didn't force us to choose him as our Savior, right? But here's the thing, after that, the choices don't stop. You still get to choose. You still get to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day who you're going to lean on. Is that Jesus Christ? That's what we have to think about. So, let's go ahead and start, guys.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Who's got some more requests? Anybody? Anybody? Elena.
113.
Ooh, over the cross.
113.
413, okay.
113.
113, I still can't. All right. 113. I blame it on the warehouse that we're at.
Four and 118 sound very similar, so it's...
They do, right?
One ball.
All right, the old rugged cross. The old rugged cross. You know, it might be an old cross, but that cross still works.
Amen.
2,000 years later, the cross still works.
Amen.
It's still the truth.
It's the old path.
Amen. On a hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame.
You love it?
And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last.
This verse always hits me. So, you know, while we're down here on the earth, right? I mean, we can all admit it. Sometimes it gets tough to live for the Lord, right? Sometimes there's a little bit of shame that you got to bear, right? Say, for instance, like, you know, you have to, maybe God's really put it on your heart to want to talk to your friend about Jesus Christ, and you really want to talk to them, and you finally work up the courage to do it, and then your friend just looks at you like a deer in the headlights, like, what did you just tell me?
Right.
Like, what was that? Like, that was really weird that you just said that. I mean, you've never talked to me about this before. Why are you talking to me about it now? You know? Our flesh gets a little ashamed of that. Mm. Honestly, I mean, mine does. I don't know about you guys, but my flesh, I mean, it gets a little ashamed of that. It gets a little embarrassed by that. But guess what? There's a beauty in that, because there's coming a day, for one, where you can't be ashamed for Christ anymore. When you have a glorified body, you won't feel shame for Christ. So you might as well live for Him right now and feel that shame while you have a choice to feel shame. It's one thing to not be able to feel it. It's a whole other thing to choose to feel it for somebody, to choose to feel it. You know, and maybe if you're not there in your life with the Lord, is there somebody in your life that you'd be willing to feel ashamed for? And if there is, why isn't Christ that somebody? Why isn't Christ the one you'll be ashamed for? Why isn't Christ the one I'll be ashamed for? Exchange it someday for a crown. You know, it might get tough to bear that cross down here right now, but praise God, someday you won't have to worry about it anymore because you have a crown. Right now, you had to carry this dirty, old, rugged cross around with you. There's probably splinters all over it. I don't know, maybe it had some bugs on it or something like that. I mean, I don't know, some flea ticks or what are those things called?
Little sea ticks.
Flea ticks, yeah.
Fleas, ticks,
whatever. You know, you had, like, that cross probably had all kinds of stuff like that on there, right? While you're holding it on your shoulders down here. But guess what? Someday you're going to get a crown to replace
Praise
it.
Praise the Lord.
You'll get a crown to replace it. So verse 2, guys.
Oh, Lord, I'm in cross, so despise by the
126, Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
Like I was saying earlier about that cross, you know, it might be an old, rugged cross. You know, it's seen some wear and tear for sure. But so has this rock. This says Rock of Ages. That means for years and years, ages and ages, this thing has been tried. It's been tried. And you know what? I was thinking about it the other day. It's like, why is the Bible the book that has stuck around and still been so famous after thousands of years?
Yep.
Hundreds of thousands of years. Why is the Bible still so famous? Why do we model our timeline? They try to take that away now, but it's nonsense. Why do they model our timeline after the Bible? BC and AD. Why do they do that? They don't do that for Muhammad. They don't do that for Buddha.
Amen.
They don't do that for Confucius. They don't do that for, I don't know, whatever religious leader you want to name. They don't do that for them. But they did that for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
There's something about that rock. There's something about the rock that stands the test of time. And it's worth clinging to.
That's right.
It's worth clinging to.
Rock of ages, clap for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side flow. Be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath. Gather with the saints at the river. cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody.
Hey, not the songs of this world anymore. Amen.
Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river.
Yeah, that's a goodie.
Brother Greg.
Amen, amen. Amen. God's grace is something wonderful. Better than anything else we can get down here, that's for sure. All right.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, how shall my tongue describe? Mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me, and broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time that we can get together and and get in your word, Lord. Thank you that we have we have instructions. You gave us instructions. You left them behind, Lord, so that we wouldn't have to ever wonder what we're supposed to do or what we're supposed to become. You didn't leave us in the dark, Lord. You gave us the light, and that light is your word, Lord. And I pray right now that you'll just give me the word to say, Lord. Just get my flesh out of the way. If you don't give me the word to say, Lord, nothing will get said. I can't do anything without you, Lord, so please just help me just to give a message to these kids, Lord. I want them to get a blessing out of it, and I pray you'll give me all the words to say that I need, and just bless our time, Lord, and help us just to look deep in our hearts, Lord, and just to look at maybe the things that we need to change and the things we need to work on, Lord, and help us just to be better Christians for you, Lord. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. So before we get started in the lesson, I want to, in a way, kind of steal Jared's idea, I guess, as far as making some lists. If you guys remember, he didn't necessarily make a list, but he wrote down some different things, right, like on the whiteboard here, some different things he called on you guys to describe. So let's see. So I'm going to make like a couple lists here, okay, and you guys are going to help me fill this in. So I want you guys to, I want you guys, if you guys had to describe man, how would you describe him? And now I don't mean like males, like boys or something like that. I mean like mankind, right? So girls, you can answer this too. So, just help me fill out this list. If you had to describe man, if you had to describe him, how would you describe him? Elena?
Sinful.
All right. I can agree with that.
Sinful.
Okay, what else?
Right. Selfish.
Filthy.
Filthy like how? Like filthy like, yeah, I'm taking a shower.
Kind of like what she said, sinful, but like filthy.
Okay.
Filthy. How do you think about yourself?
Filthy.
Sinful.
Filthy, right.
Disleading.
What's that?
Disleading.
Disleading?
Yes.
You mean like misleading?
No.
Misleading. Yeah, okay. Misleading.
Yeah,
my bad. Sorry, normally I do that with Bryson, so I was just looking for something.
Okay.
Misleading. I will misspell misleading, I'm sure.
One S, right?
It's not leading. All right, I got an English teacher in the front here.
You can't spell.
Well, you can't read, so.
It's all right.
Misleading. All right, Caleb.
Dividing.
Dividing. Okay. He's dividing.
I'm going to turn this around. Friendly.
She's going to put man in a positive way. Okay, man can be friendly, though. Like, that's true. Man can be friendly. This is not a lie. I've seen people be friendly. I've tried to be friendly before, so. All right, Jordan.
Deceptive.
What's that?
Deceptive.
Deceptive.
Strong.
Yeah. None of this is you guys, right? By the way, none of this is you. This is a friend you know, right? That's like what the situation is. I know a guy who's like this, but
Vain.
It's not
him.
Okay, Vane. Okay.
Hang on, Ethan. I need to raise my hand.
Y'all are trying.
Okay, Ethan.
Prideful.
Okay. Man. Man does not look good right now.
No.
I was gonna say selfish.
Let's see.
Intelligent.
Okay. All right. Those of you that don't know Spanish, that's intelligent. Right there.
That's not.
All right. So you're right.
Confused.
Interesting. Man can get confused. I get confused all the time.
Okay, I'm gonna try to like type this out and it's gonna tell me it's wrong.
Yeah. You said I'm gonna tell you it's wrong, Grayson?
No, I'm gonna type out like whatever he said and it's gonna tell me it's wrong.
Okay, Grayson.
Focus.
Cruel.
Cruel. Man sucks. All right, I'll say somebody. All right, let's do one more. Eeny, meeny, miny, not Bryson.
Compassionate.
Compassionate. Okay.
At least you ended out with a good word.
Good.
Oh wait, you did
try. Yes.
Yes.
I can grammar real good. All right. So this is our list for man. All right. So he's not doing too well. So man, by our mission, is simple, filthy, misleading, dividing. He can be friendly though. He's deceptive. He's vain. He's prideful. He's also intelligente. He can be confused and cruel, but he can be compassionate. Okay. So, what can we gain from this list? So man is like what? Mostly
imperfect.
They're very mixed.
I think you can do a good word.
Imperfect. Okay.
Yeah.
I like man. So man is imperfect. I like that word. Okay, let's go with that. Man is imperfect. Okay. Now, what about this guy?
He's
what
friendly.
About that guy? What is this guy like, Macy?
Loving.
We're already starting off way better. Sinful is what we start off. Loving. Christ is loving. All right. What else?
Say it out loud.
Jordan.
Forgiving.
Yeah. Now raise your hand, Jenny.
All right. For sympathy's sake, Jenny.
Like truthful, like honest.
He's honest. Okay. He is definitely honest. Honest.
Giving.
He's giving.
He's forgiving and giving.
He's he does both. Find you a guy that can do both. All right. So, Jordan.
Clean.
Clean? Yeah. All right, clean.
Pure.
In what way? Like, he always took a bath every day? Or
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Right, I don't know.
If I would take a bath, I mean, pure.
Clean. Okay, Ethan.
Selfless.
Selfless.
Jewish.
Sinless.
I'm breaking it the other way now.
Oh.
There's only one. There's only one.
That devil.
There's only one.
Sinless.
Please raise your hands.
Yeah.
All right, Anna, what do you got?
Dividing.
Interesting.
Boom.
Dividing. All right. Bryson.
Wise.
All right, a couple more. You're right.
Sometimes, I mean, there are times he can be strange.
Strange?
I like
yeah.
that. That was
no.
good.
He was. He was strange.
I was going to say
there are people on this earth that are strange
to
you for sure.
Strange and peculiar.
I was going to say he could be stern.
Okay, Una Moss. Grayson, did you have your hand up? Okay, Sierra.
Caring.
And he is caring. He's not caring like I almost spoke. Alright. So, alright guys. Alright, so pretty good list. So, Christ is... That's the other end of the marker.
Righteous.
So, Christ... Well, I'll strike that. That was a cat. Alright, so... Christ is all these things. Man is all this stuff, all right? What list looks better?
Obviously.
Right. I mean, you're backslidden if you don't say Christ, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good answer. So we'll get to that in a minute here, guys. I'm going to bring that in. That was kind of an object lesson. I'm going to bring that into what I'm going to talk about. But I want to ask you guys, I want somebody to raise their hand and tell me what is our goal as a Christian? If you had to sum it down or boil it down to one thing, what is it? Grayson?
Be as much like Christ as we can be.
Be as much like Christ as we can be. Be as much like Christ as we can be. So, he got the right answer right away. So, I was expecting some other answers. But no, that's right. That's exactly right.
Be Christ-like.
Be Christ-like. Exactly. Just another way of putting it. So, being like Christ. So that's the thing. So maybe in your mind you were thinking, well, I mean, I don't know, like, we go to church a lot and we sure like to read this Bible and I know it's got a lot of good principles in it for my life, so maybe my goal as a Christian is to read that thing. Well, you'd be wrong if you thought that. Or maybe you were thinking, well, my goal as a Christian is to soul win. I gotta win as many souls as I can, right? You'd be wrong to think that. Maybe my goal as a Christian is I'm supposed to pray a lot. I'm supposed to talk to God a lot, right? I'm supposed to say a lot of things to Him. You know, it's really good if you're caught praying, because then you look real righteous, right? So that'd be a lie, too. The goal of all of us, if you're saved here tonight, the goal that you have for your life is one thing, and that's to be like Christ. All right? So now, Who here has been through discipleship before? Discipleship one. Okay. So a lot of you guys. All right. So if you guys recall, so I think in the new lessons it's different, but in the old lessons, if you're an oldie but a goodie, if you go old school, the old lessons, lesson six, talked about the will of God for us. Who knows what the will of God is for our lives? Can you raise your hand and tell me that? Kinsey?
To get saved.
So if you're already saved, I'm sorry, I should have clarified that. If you're already saved. But no, that's true for an unsaved person.
But I thought there's a difference between the will of God and the plan of God.
There is. Mm-hmm. But there's a will of God for an unsaved person and for a saved person. Anybody?
Define a will.
So a will is just simply what God wants.
Okay.
God will want for our lives. So. Caleb.
The thing you're like, I guess like destined to do, like the thing God has planned for you?
No. So I'll give you guys a hint. It's really obvious. I kind of said it like maybe a minute ago. Macy?
To be more like Christ.
A little bit of a trick question, I guess. But yeah, so to be more like Christ. So that's the will of God for us as Christians, to be more like Christ. Everybody in your Bible, turn over to Romans 12:1-2. Romans 12:1-2. So if you guys recall, those of you who have been through discipleship 1, this is the verse or the passage that it talked about when it comes to the will of God for our lives. So I need some brave soul to read this. Verses 1-2. It's scary to read in front of your friends, I know. But can some brave soul read it? Bryson, you keep looking at me.
I was going to say, if you can tell me how to say that second word, I can get the rest of the verse.
Beseech.
Okay.
All right, go for it.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Thanks, Bryson. So, this verse is talking about obviously being a sacrifice, right? And you guys, most of you guys have seen this passage, right? I mean, this should be nothing new. But it says that we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, all right? So obviously, not obviously, Christ isn't asking us to die for him. You know, we're not dying a martyr's death at the moment, but we're supposed to be a living sacrifice. Now, why would he want that? Why doesn't he just take us right now? Why does he want us to go through life? Because we're supposed to be like him, right? We're supposed to be light, a light in this world just like he was, right? That's why he keeps us alive. The reason we're alive today, guys, I mean, you might think it's because you got a college you want to go to, or you got some like career you want to go after, or I don't know, maybe there's some girl you're chasing after and you think you're alive so you can date her or something like that. I don't know what it is. But the reason, if you're saved, the reason you're alive is to be a living sacrifice to God. That's why you're alive right now. That's why God hasn't taken you yet. You're supposed to be a living sacrifice for him. Your life is supposed to be a sacrifice. He's got something he wants you to do. What does he want you to do? What's his will? Verse 2, be not conformed to this world. All right, we live in this world, but we're not supposed to be conformed by it. The ideals, the philosophies that this world has is completely against God. It's completely against him. It's completely contrary to everything that the Bible teaches us. So we can't be conformed to it. But what do we do in place of it, right? Does God just tell us this? Is God just a God that just gives us a lot of rules and tells us to abstain from this, abstain from that? You can't have fun over here, you can't have fun over there, and then he doesn't replace it with something? Obviously, when I'm saying having fun, I'm like joking. But does he not replace the things he takes away in our lives? If he takes the world out of your life, what does he replace it with? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. His will for you is to be transformed in your mind, all right? He wants you to be transformed into something else. He wants you to be transformed into something else. So I made this list right here, right? I had you guys name off all the different things that man is. So I'm not going to speak to you guys. Maybe you can't identify with anything on this list. I can identify with everything on that list, especially the bad stuff. I can really identify with that bad stuff. All right? So this stuff over here, I mean, I might be able to say I love people in my life. I love people. You know, I have forgiven people. But to do it the way Christ does it, I don't do it like that. I don't do things perfectly like Christ does. I don't love perfectly like Christ does. I don't forgive perfectly like Christ does. I'm not honest like Christ is. I don't give like Christ would. I don't live a clean life like Christ would. I'm not selfish like Christ. I'm selfish a lot. I'm definitely not sinless like him. I don't know about you. I'm not sinless like he is. Dividing? Okay. So divide. So you can divide yourself from good things, and you can divide yourself from bad things. So what it comes down to is, what are you dividing yourself from? That's kind of how you have to look at that one. Wise? I don't know. I think I'm pretty stupid. Strange.
I mean, we're all kind of strange.
Amen. We should be, right? If we're Christians, we ought to be strange to the world. Caring. I mean, I've cared about things, but I've cared a lot about a lot of bad things in my life, right? So what's the point I'm trying to get to? So our goal as a Christian, as we start off here, the goal is to get to here. We have these things in our lives. The goal is to have these things in our lives. We start off like this. Sinful man. The goal is to be like Christ. Simply that. We'll go from here to here. That's your goal as a Christian. That's your roadmap. One arrow right there. That's what you're trying to do. That's it, guys. Because here's the thing. Those things I mentioned earlier that, you know, I mean, it wasn't spoken, but maybe you guys were thinking about it. And even if you weren't thinking about it, a lot of Christians mistake it for the goal. Those things like reading your Bible, praying, soul winning, living a clean life. You know how those things happen? They happen when you have a different nature inside of you than the one you have right now. Those things will happen in your life when you say no to your sin nature and you say yes to the nature that's inside you, that new Christian nature, that new nature God put inside of you. These things will happen. You will be a Bible reader. You will be a prayer. You will be a soul winner when you are like Christ. Because guess what? He was those things. You know what our problem is, guys? Our problem is us. Yeah. We are the problem. We are in God's way. It's not, I mean, you can blame the world for things. Sure. A lot of bad stuff comes out of it. But at the end of the day, you can't blame the world for the problems in your life. You can't pin that on the world. You can't pin it on the devil either. You know, some people like to make the excuse, well, the devil made me do it. You know who made that excuse? The very first men, or the very first people in the Bible, Adam and Eve. Yeah. And guess what? It's been happening ever since. People blame what they do and who they are on the wrong things. They don't blame it on themselves. I'm included in that. But here's the thing. If we want to do the things that God wants us to do, if we want to fulfill that plan, like was mentioned, you can't do that without being like Christ. Because guess what? In our natural state, we don't care about the plan of God. In our natural state, we don't care about the souls of men. We don't care about reading our Bible the way we are. That's why we had to get somebody else in us. That's why we had to get Christ in us. We had to get a new nature in us so we would care. All right? So, kind of on that idea, how can you become like Christ? All right? So, just kind of think generally. Like, how can you become like someone? So, I came up with like three kind of basic things. They're pretty simple, pretty basic level. Number one, to be like someone, you can talk to them. Number two, to be like someone, you can listen to them. Number three, to be like someone, you can spend time with them. All right? So let's say, and I don't know why, but for some reason I want to be like Bryson. So.
What's wrong with you?
So Bryson.
What's up? You're not like me. You're not talking.
This is beautiful.
Okay, so what was wrong with that? What was weird about that? What was awkward about that?
You weren't talking.
I wasn't talking, right? But I was looking at him. Isn't that good enough? I know he's there. Isn't that good enough?
Don't look at me.
Isn't that good enough? Can I be like him now? I know he's there. Okay, I didn't talk to him. Big deal. All right. Well, okay, so Bryson, how's your day?
My day was pretty good.
Hey, Zach, so by the way, I got that stuff done at work that you wanted me to get done, that list that you sent me,
oh, yeah,
you know, before I left. Yeah. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Hey, Drake, how was your day?
So what was wrong with that? What was wrong with that? I didn't listen to him, right?
You completely just said nope.
Yeah, I just completely, that's right. I said no and I looked the other way, right? Like, I didn't listen to him, right? So, I didn't talk to him and I didn't listen to him, all right? Now, here's another thing. Think about this. Spending time with somebody. Would you answer me this? If you never spend time with someone, would you be able to call them your best friend?
No.
No, right? I mean, how are you best friends with somebody you've never been around before, ever, right?
I mean, people do that to themselves, but yeah.
Or, yeah, maybe you're your own best friend. Just, I don't know, but yeah, it's like, you know, we could lie to ourselves and say we're somebody's best friend, but if we've never spent time with them, no, you're not their best friend. Can you love somebody that you've never spoken to, never heard from, never been around ever? Can you say you love that person? No, you can't. Keep all these things in mind. So to be like Christ, let's apply the same three principles. Talking to someone, listening to someone, and spending time with someone. If you want to be like Christ, guess what? You got to talk to him. That means praying. Number two, if you want to be like Christ, you got to listen to him. Listen to him when he talks to you. And if you want to be like Christ, guess what? You got to spend some time with him. You got to spend some time with him. These are the only ways you're ever going to become like Christ. All right? So, when it comes to talking to Christ, this is going to be my first point. Talking to Christ. So, like I just said, the way we talk to God, right, is that we pray to him, right? We all know that. We've all heard that. So, if you guys didn't know, the first time you see the word prayer in the Bible, that word prayer, like that idea of prayer, is over there in it's over there in 2 Samuel with David. And if you guys didn't notice, David is a type of a Christian. And so David is basically in this spot, 2 Samuel, he's pouring out his heart to God. He's telling him just all the different things that God has done for him, right? All the different things God has done for him and the things that David wants to do for him. He's pouring out his heart to God. He's praying to him. And like I said, this is a type of a Christian. So David was a type of a Christian. And so what's that root word in Christian?
Christ.
So is it safe to assume that a Christian should be like Christ? Yeah, right. Makes sense. So if David prayed to God and he was a type of a Christian, then obviously that means that we have to do the same if we want to be like Christ, right? If you want to be like Christ, you have to talk to him. Now, here's the thing. You know, you can pray to God in kind of some different ways. So in the Catholic Church, right, they do a lot of like more ritual type prayers, right? They do a lot of like what the Bible would call vain repetition. They're repeating a lot of words over and over again. And okay, maybe their intent is to say it to God. But at the end of the day, I mean, when you're just doing this vain repetition and there's no emotion or there's no intent to get closer to God, I mean, does that help anything? Is that making you like Christ? If I was just to pray over and over again, you know, in front of a large congregation, by the way, and I was just to pray over and over and over again, say some sort of a line, you know, like they got a lot of Hail Marys, Hail Mary, Mother of God, such and such and such, right? Like they say that in Catholic churches. But if I just say that over and over again, I mean, whenever you talk to somebody, do you just repeat yourself repeatedly?
Sometimes?
What if I just said, hey Uriah, hey Uriah, hey Uriah, hey Uriah, hey Uriah? I can't even like tongue twister right now. But like, what if I just said that over and over again? That's kind of strange though, right? Wouldn't that be a little strange? A little bit? Okay. It's a little bit strange, right? So, do we talk to Christ like that? If Christ is our best friend, I mean, do you just like repeat over and over again some kind of chant and there's no meaning behind it? There's no depth to that? There's no personality to that? You're not trying to bear your soul to God like David did? You know, we sing a lot of hymns that talk about Jesus, lover of my soul. I mean, if you really believe that, wouldn't you want to talk to the lover of your soul? If you really thought that? If you really believe the words that we sing? If we really believe those things? And speaking of love, if you want to become like somebody, wouldn't you want to know the things that they love? Wouldn't you want to know the things that they hate? Wouldn't that make sense? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think about it. Do you know the different things that Christ loves? Are you familiar with those things? Are you familiar with the things that he loves? Are you familiar with the things that he hates? Are you familiar with the things that he hates? I'll tell you what. One of the things that he hates is something that I dare to say we're probably all famous for at one time or another. If we're sinners, we're probably famous for it. One of those things, I'll just tell you, is pride. The pride of life. The Bible says that the pride of life is in the world. What the world has to offer you is the pride of life. Come and take it. Pride of life. It's yours. Your life is yours. It belongs to you. Take it. It's yours, right? Pride. The The world has pride to offer you. And that's something that the Bible says that God hates. He's not about it. A prideful look. He's not about that. Hang on, Bryson.
I was going to ask what verse was that.
Oh, that's Proverbs 6:16, where it talks about the... So, a proud look. It talks about a proud look, right? So, whenever it comes to being like Christ, like I said, how often do we talk with Him? If we want to be like Christ, if that's the goal for us, if that's what we're trying to get to, how good are we doing at that? So, second thing, guys, is to listen to Christ, okay? So, everybody turn over to John chapter 8. And when we read this, I don't know, you might find it kind of funny that I'm taking you guys over here. This isn't a... I'll tell you guys, for me, this isn't a passage I go to a lot, but it's kind of a strange passage, really, when you think about it. And it might seem a little strange that I'm taking us here, but maybe you can kind of piece it together. So, John chapter 8, verses... John chapter 8, verses 6 to 9. Let's see, I'm going to have somebody read this. Anybody trying to read this? Anybody? Macy.
Sorry, okay. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone in the women's standing of events.
Mm-hmm. So this is the passage that you guys may be familiar with. This is the passage where a woman is caught in adultery, right? And so the Pharisees, they're trying to trick Jesus into a situation. They're trying to get him to do a certain thing, right? So they create this situation. They get this woman that was caught in adultery. And it said in verse 6 that they're trying to tempt him, right? They're trying to get him to say a certain something. You know, for us as Christians, there's going to be times in our life where it's like that. Like I said, the world is not your friend. It tries to get you away from God. So what it's going to try to do is it's going to try to tempt you. The devil will also try to tempt you. He'll try to put you in a scenario where you're tempted to compromise on something. Or the world may want you to act like a Christian. Like, go ahead, do your Christian thing. But it's to catch you in something. Or it's to make fun of you or embarrass you or something like that. So just kind of a side note. But as we get down into verse 7, it starts talking about how Jesus says... hey, if you're without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. You know, many times in our life, we're tempted to judge, but it's like, okay, but what about the skeletons that you got in the closet? You know, something to think about. But in verse 8, here's what I want to point out. Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Okay, so we don't know exactly what he wrote there. It's not telling us, but he stooped down and he wrote something, right? Okay, so what's the big deal about that? Well, verse 9 says, and they which heard it. Okay, so... if I was to stoop down on the ground and write something, all right? I mean, assuming that, I guess if you want to get, you know, if you want to be funny about it, assuming that the ground, you know, isn't making noise as you're writing, right? It says, and they which heard it. Now, if I write something, if I'm writing words, are you going to, like, hear that? No, you're not going to hear that. You're not going to hear that, right? But it says here that some words were written and words were heard. Words were written and words were heard, okay? So here's the thing I want to point out to you guys about this passage is that when it comes to the Word of God, when you read this, they're written words, but you're literally hearing from God by reading this book. This is how God talks to us. And maybe for some of you, you know, that's Bible 101, but there's nothing like getting back to the basics.
Amen.
Nothing like getting back to the basics. So this Bible is how we listen to God. This is how we hear God's voice. Like I was just doing that exercise, you know, with Bryson. Bryson started telling me how his day was, and I rudely turned away from him and started talking to Zach. But obviously, that's just a physical picture of something spiritual. How many times do we do that with God?
Amen.
God's trying to tell us something, we rudely turn away from Him. The God that saved our souls, by the way. The God that died on a cross for us. I mean, He only died for us. He only shed His blood for us. Yeah, we turn away from Him. He's got something to say. We could hear from Him today. You can literally hear from God anytime you want to. It's not like this, I don't know, whole... You guys ever had, like, try to call customer service, and you get put on hold for, like, hours, and you gotta listen to that bad waiting music that's, like, I don't know, kind of weird jazz or something like that? Like, You ever been in a situation like that? Or you call and customer service only has certain hours and you're calling after their hours and you can't talk to them? Praise the Lord, God doesn't work that way.
Amen.
Praise God, he's not going to put us on hold.
Amen.
He's not going to say, no, you got to call back at regular business hours. He's not going to tell us that. He's not going to tell us that. But here's the thing. Are we trying to hear it? Are we trying to listen? And here's another thing. You can listen to him, but are you actually paying attention to what he's saying? I can overhear somebody talking. And if I overhear somebody talking, I could even make out what they said. But, like, am I actually trying to think about what they're saying? Do I actually, like, am I actually comprehending what's being said? How many times do we just, we're reading this Bible, and so to speak, we just kind of overhear what God wants us to have? Maybe just kind of faintly God told us something in this book, but we were too distracted to really listen to it. We were too distracted. We couldn't focus our minds to actually hear from him. How often does that happen? So the third thing, guys, spend time with Christ. If you love someone, you spend time with them, right? Yeah. Obviously, you would spend time with them if you love them. If you want to be like somebody, what's better than spending time with them? See, like, if I wanted to be like Xavier, let's say Xavier wrote an autobiography about himself, right? So he wrote down all the things he did in his life. It's like, I could read that book, but if I'm right here in front of Xavier, why wouldn't I just talk to him? Why wouldn't I just talk to him? Why wouldn't I just spend time with him, right? So obviously, this Bible is written down, but guess what, guys? This is as good as spending time with God right here.
Amen.
This is you spending time with God. This is you spending time with God. Not just in this Bible, though, but in prayer is spending time with God. Thinking, meditating on his word is spending time with him. All right? Fellowshipping with other Christians indirectly is spending time with God. All right? Now, mind you, you can't just always be around people when you spend time with God, because God does want a little more intimacy than that. He does want some private time with you. He does want some time in your life where you're willing to set it apart for him and say, Lord, I could talk to anybody else right now, but I just want to talk to you. I could talk to anybody else right now, Lord. I could listen to anybody else right now, but I'd rather just hear from you. That means something to God. Especially this day and age, guys, not too many people are trying to talk to him. Not too many people are trying to talk to him. So, spend time with him, though. So over there in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10, you guys can turn over there if you like. I'll go ahead and read it. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. So we know this story. So after the fall with Adam and Eve, right, they sin, they eat that forbidden fruit, and then who comes strolling along? God comes along, right? But I want you guys to notice the way it says he comes by. What is the way he's approaching them, okay? It's kind of strange a little bit. 8 to 10, it says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden." Notice how they're hiding themselves from him. When do you think we don't want to spend time with God? When we're sinning. That's when we don't want to spend time with him. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." So there you go. The first confession to God right there in the Bible. First sin confession. He gave himself up, right? he gave himself up. But notice, back to there in verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. How does a voice walk? The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. How in the world does that happen? That's kind of a weird way to phrase that. Well, think about this, and I'm going to get a little bit more abstract here too. Think about this. What is our life as a Christian compared to? A walk, right? A walk. So think about this. Your walk for the Lord is walking with God and hearing his voice. Listening to him. Listening to him, and not just listening, but talking, right? Because Adam spoke back to him. God asked him a question, and Adam spoke up. When the Lord asks us a question, do we speak up? Or do we go silent? Do we hide in that bush like Adam did and, you know, maybe try to pretend like, oh, maybe God doesn't know I'm here. Maybe I can still hide. Maybe I can hide my sin. Maybe I can hide my bad decision. Maybe I can hide from him. Maybe he won't know I'm here. You hear God calling you out in the distance, but you're not trying to answer it. That's happened in my life. I don't know about you guys, but I've done that before. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be walking with God, all right? Listening to him, hearing his voice, walking hand in hand with him. The Bible says over in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you be, you know, right next to somebody? Can you be buddy-buddy with someone? Can you bare your heart and bare your soul to somebody unless you be agreed, unless you're in the same mindset, unless you're in the same mentality? Can you bare your soul to somebody else? No, you can't. You really can't. So think about that. You guys ever heard of the phrase, birds of a feather flock together? People that are like-minded usually hang out with each other, right? Usually. So where are we at with Christ when it comes to that? Are we like-minded with Christ? Are we trying to be like him? Are we trying to be like him? Because here's the thing, guys. If you're not walking with Christ, it's because you don't agree with him. There's something in your world, in your life, that does not agree with him, and so you're not walking with him. That's exactly what happened to Adam here. Why wasn't Adam walking around with God, with the voice of God, walking around in the garden in the cool of the day? Why wasn't Adam right there by his side? Because he was in a sin. There was something in Adam's life. Adam did something that God would not agree with, so they couldn't walk together. So we have to think about that. What are the things in our lives that God would not agree with, that aren't in agreement with God's word? You know, maybe it's some stuff on this list right here. Maybe we got some of these things going on. I've had some of these things going on in my life before, and it kept me from God. And it kept me from God. But we have to think about that. If we want to be like Christ, we have to spend time with him. And you can't spend time with God if you're not in agreement with him. If you're not in agreement with him. So, if you guys remember back at camp, when Dean was preaching, he was talking about Elijah and Elisha, right? And so he was talking about those guys and how Elijah was about to go away, right? He knew God was going to take him up. And Elisha could see all the signs around him that his mentor and, you know, maybe even his father in the Lord, so to speak, Elijah, was about to go up and it was about to be taken. He was about to be taken from him, right? And Elisha knew that he was going to have to carry on the work that Elijah started. He knew that there was people around him that were counting on him to be God's man. Is there anybody in your life that's counting on you to be God's man? That's something we should ask ourselves too. And so what does Elijah ask him? It's interesting. Over there in 2 Kings, Elijah asks him this. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I always thought that was interesting. He doesn't ask him, hey Elijah, how do you do this? Hey, how'd you do that? What character qualities do you have? What should I study in my Bible? What should I write down? No, he says, give me your spirit. In other words, help me be like you. Help me think like you think. The Bible calls our spirit our minds. Elisha wanted to think like Elijah. He wanted to have the same spirit that he had. So today as Christians, guess what? We already have Christ's spirit. Whether we're in fellowship or not, we'll always have Christ's spirit. Praise God. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. But how aligned are you with that spirit? How much of that spirit are you wanting in your life? Are you being filled with the spirit? Again, discipleship 1. Christianity 101. It's just basic stuff, guys. How aligned are you with God's spirit? And are you being filled with it? Or are you filled with your own? What spirit do you want ruling in your life? These are the things we have to ask ourselves. What spirit do you want in your life? Elisha wanted Elijah's spirit. He didn't want his own. He's like, give me yours. Yours is better. Christ's spirit is always better than ours. The Holy Spirit is always better than man's spirit. Man's spirit is capable of that stuff. The stuff on the left. Christ's spirit is capable of the stuff on the right. The right stuff. Because here's why that's so important, guys. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. That's kind of a scary verse if you think about it. And it kind of scared me. Because that means that instead of Christ, this world gets me. That's not good. I don't like that. Because I know who I am. I know the things I struggle with. I know the sins I've done. I know the things that I struggle with in my life. I ain't Christ. I ain't that. Lord, why they got to get me? Unfortunately for me, though, me is who they got. So should I be like me? Should I be like Christ? And that's the question you guys should ask yourselves too. We're in Christ's stead. Instead of Christ, they get Zach. Instead of Christ, they get Jenny. Instead of Christ, they get Jared. Instead of Christ, they get Alex. Instead of Christ, they get us. So who are we being like? Whose spirit is coming from us? Who are we like? Who are we like? So just to wrap it all up, guys, like I said, our goal is to become more like Christ. That's the goal for a Christian. Because like I said, if you become more like Christ every day, guess what? You'll get in your Bible more. You'll pray more. You'll win more souls. But ground zero for that stuff is being like Christ. You won't do those things if you are not like Christ. You won't. You won't do those things if you're not like Christ. But here's the thing. You have to decide to do those things for Christ, to be like Christ. What do I mean by that? I mean that you can have another motive behind doing those things that's not for being like Christ. You could read your Bible because maybe you're in front of somebody and it just looks like a spiritual thing to do. You could pray because, again, you know, vain repetition seems to make you look spiritual for some reason. So that's why so many churches do it. You could sing hymns because it's just something that we do on youth nights, and it's just, you know, it's just what we do because we're in church. You just sing songs about God, right? You could just do it just because, just for that reason, just to go along with the program. You could even get caught up in ministries. You could even get involved in something just because it makes you look spiritual to the Christians around you. Or maybe because there's some sort of selfish gain you have from it. I don't know. Maybe your best buddy's in the ministry with you and you just want to be in it because of that reason or something. I don't know. But I'm saying you can do things for the wrong reasons. But that does not help you become like Christ. Because when it boils down to it, guys, Christ was sinless. Like we got on that list. Christ was sinless. Meaning, even his motives were right. Because you can fake a lot of things. But God knows our motive. He knows why we do the things we do. Even if it looks good on the outside. Man might be fooled, but you don't fool God. You don't fool God. And when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ, everything gets brought to light. Even our motives.
Amen.
Even our motives get brought to light. So like I said, guys, you know, our goal, it's not to know more Bible doctrine, know more facts about the Bible. Pray more than the guy next to you. Look spiritual. It's not things like that. Your goal is to simply be more like Christ, because if you are like Christ, guess what? You're less like you.
Amen.
I'm less like me.
Praise God. Amen.
And that's what we need to do.
Right.
We need to take up our cross daily and deny ourselves and take up the cross. He must increase, but I must decrease. So I'll go ahead and pray us out this message, guys, and then if Zach has something, he can come on up. Dear Lord, thank you so much for just being that example for us in our lives, Lord, and help us just to be more like you every day, Lord. Help me be like you, Lord. There are so many ways I'm not, and I wish I was. Help us just to make that the goal of our lives, Lord, because that's the thing, Lord, to be like you, can that goal cannot be taken from us. That desire cannot be taken. We can be like you, Lord, no matter what's going on in the world around us. We can always choose to be like you. It doesn't matter who's trying to stop us, because no one can. No circumstance can stop us from that, Lord. But there is one thing that can stop us, and that's us. We can say we don't want to be like you. We can choose to not serve you today, Lord, if we want to choose that. At the end of the day, Lord, help us be more like you, because that's how we're going to get the work done. And I just pray your blessing over everything that was said today, Lord. Thank you for giving me the words to say, and just thank you for the blessing that your word is in our lives, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
I literally had like several things I was going to talk about, and with each minute that Drake kept going on, he just kept taking them like the exact stuff. So it was just like the Lord was all over that message. Now that thing was spot on everywhere. I think you hit every ball dead in the middle of it, dude. That was beautiful. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a song and close out here. 316. If you guys don't know 316, we can sing 326. I want it to be something you guys know so you can participate in it. So 316 is Oh to Be Like Thee.
Amen.
Oh to Be Like Thee.
I have to stand this thing.
Oh
verse 1.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, send thine own image deep on my
verse
heart.
Number 5.
Oh, to be like thee while I am bleeding, pour out thy spirit, fill with thy love. Make me a temple, me for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above.
Take your time.
Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, send thine own image deep on my heart.
Hey, you guys can do it. It's not impossible. All right, he gave you the tools. Just ask him to do it for you, all right? Have a good night.
I'll just get that right.
Oh, no, you're good.
You're right. When you heading out?
Where are you going?
Right.
Let's begin.
I'll
slap him.
Someday I'm going to lose my arm.